We do welcome you all to our service this morning. We trust the Lord will bless you as you've come at this Christmas time to worship the Lord with us. To especially remember any who are visiting with us, especially remember Mrs. Kearns this morning. We're delighted to see you, and we trust the Lord will continue to comfort and bless you in days that lie ahead. Do remember the restrictions as you enter and exit the building and while you're in the building, and all of the requirements that you're now familiar with, the various exits from the building following the services. Do please remember these as well. And then the season of prayer in our own homes this afternoon, do remember that and seek to gather in your own home and seek the Lord in these difficult times, that God would come and intervene and rise up to help us and to save us and to deliver us. And then the service this evening will be at 6 p.m. Please remember the change of time because of the restrictions this week. So 6 to 6:45, the end of year gospel service. I will be the preacher on the subject, God's mercy toward a lost mankind. Do remember the service, and if you're free, I trust that you, and you're able to come, that you'll come tonight from 6 to 6:45. And then Wednesday there'll be a church committee meeting by Zoom at 8 p.m. Please remember that. The link will be sent out to members of committee. Thursday at 8 p.m. would normally be our end of year service, but this year it's online. So it'll be online at 8 p.m. on Thursday. Please remember that and join with us for that. Do remember the baskets at the exits for all offerings. And next Lord's Day at 10:45 a.m. will be the communion service. The first communion we have held since February will be held in the church, God willing, at 10:45. Doors open from 10:30. Please bring your own bread and wine. There are receptacles as you leave the service for the communion wine, and you can bring these with you. Do remember that, please. And all who know and love the Saviour are welcome to join with us around the table next Lord's Day morning at 10:45. The doors will open then after the communion service for those attending the church service, approximately 11:10 a.m. Family worship 11:30 with our motto text for 2021. And the gospel in the evening time, I will be preaching myself, and our sister Natasha will be singing. Do remember, please, the pre-church prayer meeting next Sunday night in the youth room from 6:20 to 6:45. The building fund is at both services next Lord's Day. Envelopes can be picked up today for 2021. Gift aid ones be separate with your name on it. Other ordinary free will envelopes can be picked up as well there next to the notice board on the shelf there. We appreciate the giving of the Lord's people in the past year. And it's been a very difficult year, but we've been able to keep up all our commitments, meet all our commitments, and we're thankful to you in the Lord's name for your help. Literature, LTBS calendars, maybe one or two still left if you're looking for them for the new year, £3 each. Also, subscriptions are due for the Vision magazine for 2021, £6 for the year. Please see Robert Catterson for these. There are other items of literature you can see as you leave at the exits today. I think these are all the announcements. We will begin our worship in the singing of the hymn while we remain seated. It is the hymn which will be on the screen. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. See the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternity. He's keeping our seats as we sing moderately. us stand for prayer. Gracious, loving, eternal, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for his birth, his coming into the world, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. We thank thee, O God, for all that he is. We thank thee, O God, for his glorious person, God manifest in flesh. And as we come this morning, we bow down our hearts in worship before thee. We seek thy blessing upon us. We pray for thy favor, the fullness of thy spirit, the power and the blessing of God to be our portion today. Let us know every heart, every life, every home, every family, every sorrow, all of the sickness, all of the pain that many people feel today. Thou art touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank thee that thou dost draw alongside as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As we come today, there are many troubled hearts, even at the end of this year. O God, we ask for grace and strength and help, for thy sustaining power, even through these times, that thou wilt be the succor of thy people, be their strength and song, and we thank thee that thou art our salvation. As we come this morning, we pray that you'll meet our needs around thy word. Open our hearts to receive the word this day, that it may be a word in season, a word that will challenge us, a word that will strengthen us, a word that will feed us, and a word that will give us encouragement in a time of need such as this. As we come today, we pray for those who are not saved. And Lord, they end this year as they begun it, without Christ. Those in our families, those, O God, in our communities, those even in the church family here who are still without Christ. O God, ere this day passes, ere this year closes, may they close with Christ as he freely offered in the gospel. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Bless all our missionaries, our ministers, our students. Remember every man who stands in our pulpits today, across the land and across the world. Use the preaching of the gospel of Christ, wherever it is truly preached, that men and women today will be brought to Christ, that boys and girls will be saved, and Lord, that young people will be led out to serve thee and to live for thee in this day. Bless our land. Remember our government. Give wisdom and direction in all the decisions they have to take. Remember, O God, the governments of the world, the powers that be. We are reminded in Scripture are ordained of God. We are to pray for those in authority. We pray for them today, that thou wouldst give them, endow them with wisdom in all of their decision making. Turn their hearts to thee, for righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Bless us now and do us good. We ask in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, I hope you've enjoyed your Christmas. I know it was very different this year for many of you. But boys and girls, all good things come to an end. And so we have the end. Now, when we think about the end, boys and girls, we think about the end of this year. And it's just days away. And another year will have passed. And a new year will commence, God willing. And so, boys and girls, the end. Now, boys and girls, the thing is, how are you going to end this year? Are you going to end it with the Lord Jesus in your heart as your Savior? Are you going to come to the end of this year, still rejecting Christ, still without the Savior, still refusing to turn from the sin, the bad things that are in your heart and life, and to turn
to the Saviour. Boys and girls, what an end it would be this year if you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. What an end it would be for you if you would come to Jesus and accept Him today as your Saviour. Are you going to end this year as you begun it, without the Lord in your life, without the Saviour, without having turned to Him and trusted in Him and yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ? You think about the end, boys and girls. Think about the end of this year, but think about the end of time. Because, boys and girls, there will be a time when time will be no more, when Jesus will come and He will return and time will end. The end, boys and girls. Now, how important it is to be ready for that day. There's a verse in Scripture that says, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And boys and girls, this morning, Jesus is coming again. The question is, are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready? Do you know Him? If you don't, I pray that before the end, even now, you will ask Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Saviour. May God help you to do that, even this morning, boys and girls, for His name's sake. Now we're going to sing another hymn, just keeping our seats again. Number 84, "Jesus, My Saviour, to Bethlehem Came." It'll be on the screen. So before we sing that, I omitted to announce that you're giving towards the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. Last Sunday, in the retiring offering, came to £735.91. I think that's the biggest offering we have lifted for the hospice. And we thank you very much for all your giving towards this very worthy cause. We'll keep our seats as we sing moderately this hymn.
Let us turn to the Word of God this morning. We find it in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse 24. The sixth chapter of the first Gospel, the Gospel according to Matthew. And the verse 24. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us stand again for a moment of prayer, please. Our gracious God and Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Please be seated. The subject this morning is prioritizing our priorities. Prioritizing our priorities. You find the text there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People speak about things that are on their to-do list. Obviously, they haven't got round to them yet, but they hope at some stage to get round to them. Maybe your wife is reminding you about those things that are on the to-do list that you haven't done, even though almost 12 months has passed since it was put on the list. Those domestic chores that you put off doing for long enough, but you still haven't done. Other matters that you haven't given attention to. Even some that are important, but they're still on the list to be done. They haven't been ticked off as being completed. And another year has almost gone, and there still are things, maybe even many things, on your to-do list. You see, it's all about priorities. Getting our priorities right. What are your priorities today? What are the priorities of your life? Jesus, in this great Sermon on the Mount, spoke about having priorities. In the immediate context here from which we have read, he is addressing the anxieties that many have in the temporal sphere of life. You see there in verse 25, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. It means take no anxious thought
for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Again, verse 28. And why take ye thought or anxious thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Again, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Again, verse 34. Therefore, take therefore no thought, or no anxious thought, for the morrow. And see, there are many people who are filled with anxiety and overtaken by worry in relation to material things. The truth is verse 32 teaches, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But then we have the but. And where the Lord puts the emphasis here, in verse 33 in our text, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here is the but. And the Lord puts emphasis here upon getting our priorities right. Or to put it another way, as we have taken as our subject this morning, prioritizing our priorities. You see, the words of our text are very clear in relation to this matter. It is important to have the right things on our to-do list and to have them in the right order. And the Lord gives absolute clarity here and clear direction to each and every one of us gathered in His presence this morning. Let there be no confusion, but let there be absolute clarity. The Lord is saying here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Prioritizing our priorities. There are three things that I want to focus upon in this text of Scripture today. First of all, the priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You'll notice here, first of all, there is the exhortation to do this. And the thought here in the term seek is to set ourselves to seek. It is to seek with all of our might. You know how worldly people seek after the things of time and sense. They don't seek after them reluctantly, but they seek after them heartily and constantly and diligently. In such a manner and in such a spirit are the things pertaining to our eternal welfare to be sought. God has nowhere promised that those who seek Him indolently or indifferently shall find Him. Rather, He has declared in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So there's to be no misunderstanding of the meaning. And Christ has added the words here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. By which is meant, seek it chiefly, seek it principally. Seek it above all other things in this world. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let the things of God have chief place in our thinking, in our desires. Make the glory of God and your own spiritual blessing your paramount concern. It is not that we are to seek them solely and exclusively to the neglect of temporal duties and responsibilities, but we must put first things first. Not suffer the things of God to be crowded out by the things of time and sense, which are of far less importance. Seek them first in time. For the divine promise, according to Proverbs 8 and 17 is this: those that seek me early shall find. Let us have a total focus on these things, that we are not distracted to other things or by other things. How often there is the temptation to let our focus be on other things. Things that are harmful to our spiritual lives. Things that are injurious to our testimony for God. The things of God become an afterthought. Or something we concentrate in an emergency. Once a week. Or in time of trial or crisis. And other times they don't come into our thinking at all. Whereas they ought to be first and most of all, the top of the list. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so we see the exhortation to do this. But then we have the examples of doing this. Those who with all of their hearts sought to seek first the kingdom of God. God was first in their lives. This is expressed many times by the psalmist. For example, in Psalm 63 verse 1, he said, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And you see the intensity of the psalmist's desire. He was longing. He was thirsty after the Lord. And again, in the Psalm 42, and the first verses there, we have the psalmist again. And he said this, Psalm 42, verse 1, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There's this longing, this thirsting, this intensity of desire. The inward thirst and longing after God indicates how he was seeking Him first and most of all. Again, looking there at the prayer of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64 of Isaiah, and the verse 1, 64th chapter of Isaiah in verse 1, he said, Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And here we have an indication of how the psalmist was longing for the Lord, or the prophet was longing after the Lord, for God to come and for God to meet with him. Again, we have it in the prayer life of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3 and following verses, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, you have the prayer of Habakkuk there. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and wrath, remember mercy. You have the praying of the Savior himself. And of course, that is the supreme example of intensity of desire. The prayers of the Savior in the garden. And of course, on many other occasions in the Gospels, his heartfelt communion with the Father. The praying of the apostles, the praying of the church in the New Testament. We're especially drawn to the prayers of Paul the apostle and the ministry of prayer that Paul exercised, indicating that the Lord was first in his life. First in supplication, but also first in service. You see, the true servants of God give themselves not only to prayer, but give themselves to work for the Lord. You think of Nehemiah there in the Old Testament, and the sacrifices he was prepared to make in order that the work of God would be done that needed to be done. And he faced all of the difficulties and all of the dangers. And in the doing of it all, he put the Lord first. You cannot read the book of Nehemiah without seeing this. See all of the challenges that the apostles faced. In many persecutions and perils, they pursued a path that indicated the Lord was first in all that they did. You cannot read the 11th chapter of Hebrews without seeing the great heroes of the faith and what a list there is there of men, of God, of those who served the Lord with all of their hearts. And as we look at the servants of God down through the centuries of time, history records the names of men and women who put God first. Think of David Livingstone and Hudson Taylor, and more recently been reading that book by our brother Barnes on Emma Munn, and we think of Mary Slessor and people like that, heroes of the faith. Examples of those who sought first the kingdom of God. Let me ask you today, is that your priority? As you end an old year and look out into the unknown of 2021. But then not only is there the priority here, but there is the purity here. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you see, the pathway of holiness is to be pursued by the Christian. Sometimes we're very quick to criticize those who mention the term holiness. And we may not agree with all of what they say about it. But holiness is in the Bible, friend. We cannot neglect it. It is to be pursued by the Christian. Hebrews 12:14, Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You remember how Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth, he sought to counsel the church there away from carnality and away from worldliness and away from sinful and immoral practices to a pathway of holiness. A pathway that was pleasing in the sight of God. And you know, it's so easy in this 21st century to be tempted to go astray and to lower the standards. And we have many examples of those who did lower the standards, even in Bible times. You think of David and how he failed the Lord. And Solomon, his son too. And Samson. And we think of Demas in the New Testament, who loved this present world. You think of the church at Ephesus, who had left their first love. We think of the church at Laodicea, who were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, and God spewed them out of His mouth. You see, my friend, this morning, the forsaking of a righteous path brings shame and dishonor upon the Lord's name, and it causes the enemies of Christ to blaspheme. We must ever guard our testimony for the Lord in our families, in society, in general, in business, in school or college or university, or wherever we may find ourselves. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, he said, sanctification is progressive. If it does not grow, it is because it does not live. There has to be, you see, this dying more and more unto sin and living more and more unto righteousness. That's what sanctification is. It's a work, it's not an act. It begins when we're saved and it ends and is completed and perfected when we reach glory. What is sanctification? Question 35, the shorter catechism, we have the definition. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man, in the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Is not this what Paul was speaking about in Galatians 2 and verse 20? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ living in Him. The manifestation of Christ in His life. More and more. The manifestation of Christ. The holy life. Ascending into the hill of God. Psalm 24. Standing in His holy place. That's what the young man grasped when he prayed in that barn in Lewis. and quoted those verses from Psalm 24. And he said this, "Is it not so much humbug, us praying here, if our hearts are not rightly related to God? Is it not so much humbug, us praying here, if our hearts are not rightly related to God? Oh, men and women, that we might grasp this, even this morning." Murray McShane said, "I often pray, Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be." Arthur W. Pink said, "There is no way that we ourselves can generate sanctification. Our sanctification is Christ. There is no way we can be good. Our goodness is Christ. There is no way we can be holy. Our holiness is Christ. Christ in us." Leonard Ravenhill said, "The greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy and put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it." What truth there is in that. Adrian Rogers, the great American preacher, said, "Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness." How true that is. Christ is the way to holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, he said this, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That word conversation doesn't just mean the things that we say, but it means also the things that we do. It has to do with our behavior. And as we walk in fellowship with Christ, men and women, there has to be that lessening likeness in us of the world and an increasing likeness to Christ. Think of those men who walked in fellowship with Christ on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. What a change there was in them. Their hearts did burn with him. As he talked with them by the way, as he opened to them the scriptures and spoke to them of the things concerning himself. You think again of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says that those who were there in Matthew 17, verse 8, they saw no man but Jesus only. Paul spoke so wonderfully there in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. "But we all," he said, "with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God." Oh, men and women this morning, and we'd be changed into the glory of Christ. We'd see him. And there'd be such a change in us today. Such a change. Think of Stephen there. His face shone like that of an angel. Acts 6 verse 15. Think of Peter and John. Acts 4, 13. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. May it be so in us. The manifestation of Christ. That people will see that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Purity. But then I want to come finally to the promise. The priority. The purity and the promise. And the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, if we prioritize our priorities, then this promise will be realized. Here is a grand and a glorious promise. In the previous verses we've read in our Bible reading today, Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus Christ used one argument after another to show the needlessness and the folly of being filled with anxious care, calling attention to a variety of facts and drawing from them irrefutable conclusions to evidence the sin of distrusting God. And many times we do distrust God, even in regard to the mundane material things of life. And we're worrying about those things. Mother, you're worrying about them. Father, you're worrying about them. Young person, you're worrying about them. But here he makes a plain and positive declaration.
assuring us that if we are truly concerned about God's interest, He will take care of ours. That if the divine glory be our principal aim, we shall not be the losers in a temporal sense. If God be leading us to heaven, He will certainly not deny us such things as bodily sustenance and raiment. Think of the words of Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What wonderful words are these. And where He gives grace and glory, He will not withhold the good things of this life. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul said, Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And the Lord Jesus said, All these things shall be added unto you. These things He's been speaking about. That's the context. And this phrase is very significant in the original language, the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. It's taken from the custom which obtained between buyers and sellers when things were sold by measure. Maybe you can remember that. Some of us can. I remember hearing a story of someone who was supposed to be measuring out a pound of sausages, but he was keeping his hand on the scales at the same time. And someone had to say, Well, take your hand off the scales. Give me a proper pound of sausages. That's a rather humorous story, of course, but it actually happened. But here, the context is between buyers and sellers in relation to measure. And the seller adding an extra quantity or overplus so as to endure good weight or ensure good weight and please the customer. And to those who seek first His kingdom, the Lord's kingdom and His righteousness, the Lord gives measure, good measure in return. In fact, the Bible says the Lord gives good measure, pressed down. Good measure, pressed down and running over. All the material things that are needful for this life. You know, the Lord is no man's debtor. We read in Scripture there, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 11, that the ark of God continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his house. How much more will He bless those who receive His Spirit to rule in their hearts? How much more will He bless you and I this morning? The promise is only for those that meet the stipulation. Which then are we seeking first this morning? Earthly things or heavenly things? The things of self or the things of God? Surely, if any year is going to teach us anything, surely this year has taught us that. I hope you've been listening. I hope you've been listening. I fear some of God's people haven't even yet been listening. But I trust all of us will listen. The things of self or the things of God. Have you got your priorities right? And how vital it is that this is so. If we're going to know the blessing of the Lord upon us in a rich and a mighty way, what a testimony it is to the world when a Christian dares to practice Matthew 6, verse 33. What a tragedy it is when many fail to practice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But maybe you're not saved. And you've never taken that step of faith into the kingdom of God. God is giving you maybe your last opportunity today. Maybe your last opportunity this morning. Seek the Lord. I pray you'll come to Him. before it's too late. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy holy word. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books, or turning to the screen rather, to look at it. 413 is the hymn. It will be on the screen, and we keep our seats while we sing. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. 413, keeping our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand for the closing prayer. Now with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tomorrow, until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away, and then forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.